Hello and welcome to episode 19 of the Structure and Interpretation of Computer Programmers podcast. Once again, a bored man has got access to a microphone and will use it to be wrong on the internet. Once again, I am that bored man and my name is Graham Lee. This episode is about setting up a second Mac. Not my second Mac. This is certainly not the second Mac I've ever owned. I've actually... Over my lifetime, if we discount vintage pieces, you know, I'm fairly well known as a vintage computer buff and someone who has, you know, more computers from earlier times than like ones I actually use day to day. If we just count like, you know, daily driver computers, then over the 16 years that I've been macOS 10 or macOS or OS 10 or iOS, or, you know, generally a developer working on the Apple platform, I've bought 5 Macs. So that's, you know, slightly under one every 3 years. Actually, like, you know, that is a very high number. You know, that's 4 laptop computers and 1 desktop. So, you know, really, I've bought... Well, no, I have bought 5 computers. Let's not, you know, pretend that I haven't. But I had a long period of having a desktop as my sort of main home workstation, and then a laptop as a sort of portable thing. And of course, as like the entire industry has scaled down, I now tend to just use laptops and then have, you know, an iPad for those like on the go computing things, or even just my phone. So it's more than I needed to buy, though. Like, let's definitely use the number 5, the 5 computers that I've bought, or sorry, the 5 Macs that I've bought. 2 of them were motivated by hardware shifts. So shortly after I got my first Mac, like the first one that I actually bought was a 12-inch iBook G4, which would have been 2005, end of 2005 or into 2006. And so, yeah, this was like within a year. Apple WWDC 2006, Paul Ottolini got up on stage, they talked about the Intel transition. So within like 18 months of buying this computer, there was a new architecture. Now, if you're going to develop on the platform, you need to be able to test your code on both architectures. So, you know, I bought an Intel Mac, which is a white MacBook, fairly shortly after that one. Then, of course, that was a 32-bit Intel CPU, and the 64-bit transition happened within a very short amount of time. And so my next purchase would probably have been a 64-bit iMac. And then subsequently the MacBook got replaced with a 64-bit MacBook Air, not one of the £2,000 original ones, but when the MacBook Air was the cheaper of Apple's laptop line. Then I kind of, you know, just coasted along with that for a bit, and then spilled a drink on it and broke it well after it was out of warranty, and so got the computer that I, you know, use to this day, which is the 15-inch MacBook Pro with a touch bar that I'm recording this thing on. That's the 2018 model, the one that's got the keyboard of doom. Now, actually, if you include employer-owned computers that I have used as sort of daily drivers, then mostly because I've had a lot of employment, and partly because my employment tends to involve a lot of testing on like different configurations, different platforms, and so I've had like maybe more than one computer at once in a given job. I think that there's another 11 daily driver computers that were not mine but were employer owned that I've used over the last 16 years. So that takes us up to a total of 16 computers. And actually one of those 16 was a 27-inch iMac that was handed me down from my employer to me and has now gone to a friend and is still in use today. And then there's probably like 60 to 70 more that I've used infrequently but repeatedly, like, you know, that I've had an account on can log in on and, you know, have used from time to time, although, you know, many of those have been things like Xserves that are generally run unattended. So this Mac that I'm setting up is my second Mac, in that I have my primary one, which is this 2018 MacBook Pro that, you know, is the thing that I use for like recording this podcast, for writing articles for my blog or for the Programmatica Ipsum, for like checking my emails, chatting with friends, doing my like open source projects, streaming the Dos Amigans Twitch stream, that kind of stuff. That's like my computer that I use, and this one is my employer's computer that I use. Now, it's actually being given to me for purposes related to an educational course that I'm taking at work. Weirdly, like my work issued laptop, which is just in a drawer in my desk, is a 15-inch Dell laptop that's running Ubuntu Linux. But because I have to write a lot of mobile apps at work and therefore, you know, use like Xcode and the iOS simulator and things, I've never actually been able to do my job on that laptop. It's just stayed in a drawer, and I've like brought my home computer into work. So now we're in that sort of reversal of roles where I'm actually using a work-issued computer for my work, and I have to think about how I'm going to set that up. Now, something that has, you know, got me interested over the last short while, but it's definitely something I want to explore, is the idea of a developer being efficient by having their tools that they're comfortable with and their workflows that they're familiar with, but without constraining the choices of technology that are used in deploying the end products, or without constraining the choices of design of those end products. So, you know, rather than saying I am a great Swift UI developer, therefore every program that I write has to be one that's deployed on the Apple platform natively using Swift UI, how do I get to I am so efficient at like communicating with my stakeholders and at operating my computer and my developer tools, that if it turns out the best thing for me to do is to write this program using a tool that I've never used before, let's say the Elixir language, that I'm going to be as efficient as possible at doing that and at investigating and working with novel to me technologies that are useful at solving your problems, rather than being efficient at cranking out the same answer no matter what the question was. So this motivates, you know, my thoughts about how to set up this other Mac. Like, I clearly want to use it for my work, and it is beneficial both to me and my employer if I'm efficient at the work that I do on this computer. And, you know, the more of me there is in this computer, then the more familiar it's going to be, the more I've got like the tools that I like using and got it set up the way that I like, and so on. And so the more it becomes like an extension of me and something I'm familiar with and can work with well. But there are reasons not to do that. So, yeah, let's look at the two. So the arguments for it being more my tool and set up exactly the same as, you know, the Mac that I own and use personally. As I said, it's going to be me using it all the time. So the more it reflects my sort of comfortable setup, then the more efficient I'm going to be, the more familiar I am with it. However, there are also situations where this may be my only computer. Now, that's actually a rarity at the moment because, you know, COVID-19 means I'm not actually travelling for work that much. You know, during my career, there have been plenty of times where I've been at a conference representing my employer, giving a talk, and I have, taken my work laptop, and that has been the thing that I have presented from, that I have taken notes on, that if I see an interesting talk and I want to set up a little project to experiment, I do it in that. If someone mentions some open source topic and I want to check out that project, maybe contribute a fix, I do it on that laptop as well, which is my employer's laptop. That means that there are times when I want to use my work laptop for my personal experience and for my personal projects. You know, this modern HR idea of bringing your whole self to work. As I say, that's currently fairly rare, and actually, the split of project time and project interest that I have at the moment means that that's not actually that big a deal, that my spare time is taken up with things that tend not to be contributing to open source, and I'm very rarely in a situation where I only have my employer's computer because, like everybody else, I'm stuck at home all the time. So the arguments for it being less of my setup and less well synchronized with everything else that I use, and more of a standalone computer that has my work tools on it and nothing else, are the work-life balance argument. If it is my work thing and is not super comfortable, then I'm just going to use it for work. And then, if I get to a point where I'm interested in stopping up work and doing something else, then I'm going to put that computer away and switch context. I'm going to go into a situation where I don't have to use my work environment. I'm not still sort of facing work as I enjoy my personal life. Also, there may be intellectual property concerns with using my work laptop for personal projects. Some people have clauses in their contracts saying that anything you do on employer-owned computers belongs to the company. Some have contracts that say anything you do on on the standard working clock, so maybe the sort of 9 to 5:30, is owned by your employer, and it would be harder to to say that you hadn't done something as a work project if you did it on your work computer. And the other one that came up quite a lot in discussion about this topic was what if the employer demands the laptop back on short notice, and then they discover everything that I've been doing that's got nothing to do with work, or they discover that I have been contributing to open source using their materials and their equipment, or my project is lost because I no longer have access because my employer took the thing back. So I put a Twitter poll up this morning, UK time, in which I said that the alternatives that I'd come up with, I came up with three. I'm actually going to list four now because I thought of one while the poll was running. And I asked people for their experiences and their suggestions. So alternative one is that I could just restore my work laptop. By the way, the work laptop is the new 2020 model 13-inch MacBook Pro, which is the one that's got the fixed keyboard. It has got a touch bar, and it only has two USB-C ports, which is an important fact that we'll come on to later. Now, so option one is I just clone my existing laptop onto that one, either by restoring from Time Machine backup or by transfer my files and preferences from another computer in the restore wizard. Now, actually, I suppose they're called wizards on Windows and Assistance on Mac, aren't they? That would give me like the most me-like computer, because it would be a continuation of the setup that I already have on another computer. The second alternative is that I set it up as a standalone computer, but I use my Apple ID and I sync all of my iCloud, my settings and, you know, calendars and Find My and music and all of that stuff between the two. So there is a sort of continuity between these two computers, but not a sort of clonal relationship. The third alternative was that this computer could be entirely standalone, to create another Apple ID just for the purposes of work-related data. I already have an Apple ID that I use for App Store Connect for this employer, and then so I could just sign in with that Apple ID and like not sync any of my iCloudy stuff with the between the personal and the work computer. And then I gave people a write-in option. I don't believe that there were any write-in responses, except that I came up with one that I thought of while the poll was in progress, which was that I could set up the operating system as the employer's, like, you know, as the work environment, but then create a macOS 10 virtual machine inside it. Which you can do with VirtualBox, or actually this employer has a license for VMware with either of those tools, and the installer that you download from the App Store. It's very simple to create a Mac virtual machine running in macOS 10, so I could do that and run all my sort of side work in this VM. Now, because Twitter and limited text, that was the content of the poll, was those three options and write in. I didn't give any of the constraints that were relevant to my circumstances, but they do exist, and they are that I have to run employer mandated endpoint security software, which is not mobile device management, so it's not one where they've got a dashboard and can see all of the state of my computer and do things remotely. It is a sort of antivirus detection and removal tool. I have to run that on their hardware because it's owned and theoretically managed by them. Actually, I have administrator access to the installation, and the Linux laptop they gave me is entirely self-managed, and so it doesn't run the endpoint security software. So it's inconsistently applied, but the rules as stated are that I keep this endpoint security software on there. As I said, I have admin, and there is a very strong contractual IP clause in my employment agreement that says that anything done on a work computer is owned by the employer. However, there is not a culture of enforcing that either in this particular employer or like in the UK or Europe in general, to the extent that we still use European law in the UK. And there isn't a very clear workday definition of employers' time. You know, there isn't this idea that you sort of clock on, do your work, and then clock off. Like, you know, they are flexible in when you do your work in return for sort of being flexible about what is considered working or not working. So it's quite a fluid environment, and it would be hard to like partition the day into working or not, except for my own purposes. So I put out this poll with those options, but excluding the virtual machine option. And at the time of pressing record on this podcast, there were nearly 80 responses to the poll. 53% of people said, like, just set it up standalone, separate Apple ID or no Apple ID. And the justifications people gave were the problem with handing the thing back without any notice. The intellectual property challenges associated with developing personal stuff on an employer's computer. And people, you know, suggested like coping strategies for having two unrelated computers, like having all the peripherals plugged into a Thunderbolt hub, and then just swapping the two computers on the desk using that. I happen to have difficulty with that in the office, which I obviously don't go into that much at the moment. I have this Dell Thunderbolt hub that barely works with the Dell laptop I was given, and definitely does not work very well at all with with an Apple laptop. The display is not detected, the USB ports are infrequently detected. Even connecting the Dell computer to the Dell hub, often the display goes undetected or cuts out during operation. So yeah, that's just not a great hub and doesn't give me a good experience with using this Thunderbolt hub, and therefore makes me like wary of buying another Thunderbolt hub. Also, a lot of the things I have connected to my MacBook Pro, my personal MacBook Pro, in my home working setup need to be connected directly to a USB-C port on the computer and can't go through a USB hub. So I have a USB hub on the desk because I set up a bunch of peripherals, but between like using the Apple Magic Keyboard and mouse, which are both Bluetooth, and all the stuff that's plugged in directly, I only have one device currently plugged into the hub, and then a bunch of charging cables for all of the wireless stuff. So I've got a Wacom tablet that has to be connected directly to a USB port on the computer. I have the Yeti microphone that I'm recording this podcast with, which has to be connected directly to the computer. I have a little Western Digital external hard drive for my Time Machine backup, and that works best if it's plugged into the computer directly. Actually, all four of the USB sockets, one of which is obviously taken up with the charger and the HDMI adapter for the external monitor, all four of these sockets are currently in use by peripherals that plug directly into the computer. So swapping the laptops over is actually a bit of a non-starter, because the 13-inch computer only has two USB-C ports. It's not going to work with my desk setup and my peripherals. Even if we discount the fact that I wouldn't be doing Time Machine backups on it, so it's down to needing three ports, it only has two. That's not going to work. So 42% of people said to like set it up as a separate computer but with iCloud sync, and justifications for that included syncing keychain items, syncing like apps that are purchased through the Mac App Store, and that's obviously like a key part of getting your workflow right, is using the tools that you're comfortable with. And then 6% of people said do the clone option. I appreciate that comes to a total of 101%. I've rounded the numbers, and so that is where that inaccuracy comes from. So my solution was to do the middle option, the iCloud sync option, where this is a separate computer, except that I have got the same iCloud account on both my work and my personal laptop. My justification for that is the same as the ones that people came up with. I used to use Nextcloud for syncing all of my data, but I tried to be a lot more cross-platform. Then what I have come to realize is that I can be much more efficient if I am using one environment that I am familiar with and have set up the way that I like. And so I've chosen to sort of centralize all of my work onto the Apple platform and then use virtual machines or software like containerization software to run other platforms. So I do have all of my data now back in iCloud. So I want, my passwords particularly are all up to date in the iCloud keychain, and I basically could not function with a computer that didn't have a access to that collection of stored passwords. I'd have to type in passwords of the approximate length of the Safari suggested passwords by reading them out of my phone screen and typing them accurately into a password field in a browser. That would not be a lot of fun. Also, I do use apps on the first part of my workflow that are not developer tools that I bought through the App Store, and I want those to be available so that I can have my workflow on this other computer. I have set up iCloud Drive on this computer, so I've got my sort of synced documents folder and synced desktop folder. I don't know in practice whether I'm going to use that, what I'm going to do is review in say a month's time, have I actually used my shared documents folder, or can I turn that off and then not have my documents on this third-party owned computer? I suspect that I don't need them, but it's that kind of thing where it feels weird not to have them, and so for the moment I have. The other things I've turned on this computer are Find My, because I acknowledge that my employer could ask for this thing back at a moment's notice, and they are welcome to have it, and as soon as it leaves my hand I will press the remote wipe button on my phone, and then I don't have the problem of what happens if they look at all of my side projects. Not that I'm ashamed of my side projects anyway, but just it's a good security practice that if this thing is going to go out of my hands, I have a way to delete the data. I've also, because of the problem that I mentioned with the with my desk setup and with the number of USB-C ports I need being at least 3 and the number available being exactly 2, I've turned on screen sharing on this computer. So I can share the screen from my home computer and then for when I'm working from home. And actually I've got it set up this way now. I'm running through the updates, grabbing Xcode, grabbing some other apps from the App Store that I need. And I'm doing that over screen sharing with the laptop actually in a completely different room. So that I've got my familiar desk set up and then access to all of my environment and the peripherals that I'm used to working with, and the monitor that I am used to looking at, and that kind of thing. So far, I've only turned on my work email accounts and calendars on it. Haven't got my personal email, so I haven't got that personal data on this employer-owned computer. Calendars is an interesting thing because where we're all working from home at the moment, I am quite fluid about my working day and my personal day. If there's a personal event I want to go to, a conference talk or a seminar that someone's doing, and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon but it's on Zoom, I'll do that. So if I don't have my personal calendar and I can't see that in my work calendar, and I might accidentally book a meeting over the same time. Now obviously the meeting would take priority, but it'll be interesting to explore whether I actually need my personal calendars on my work computer in order to effectively manage my work-life balance when I'm working. I only have the chat environments like the Slack spaces that are relevant to work projects. I only have the tools I need for completing my work-related projects. I haven't even installed all of those yet because I'm going to do this on an as-needed basis so that the computer is set up in a way that is that supports the projects I'm working on, but that is sort of minimally supporting them and doesn't have tools that like I thought would be cool to use, or I thought I might want to use, but actually end up being a distraction or unnecessary, and so like take up cognitive space by having an icon in my dock that I'm not using. So the only things that are cross project that I installed directly without waiting for the use to come up are three applications: Xcode, because I know I'm going to need Xcode, and I'm going to need the command line tools so that I can use basically every other development project I have. I have OmniFocus, because that's where I keep all of my outstanding tasks, including work-related things that are not GitHub issues. And frankly, I wouldn't mind being able to sync GitHub issues with OmniFocus, but that tends to work a lot better on Lone Wolf projects than it does on collaborative projects. And I have Evernote, because that's like where I store all of the notes that I take. So all of my like work-related meeting notes and project architecture thoughts, or notes from workplace seminars I've been to and things, are all in Evernote. So I get the sort of minor convenience of syncing like some other things, like handoff works from my phone to this work laptop, which it wouldn't do if I had a separate Apple ID. I don't tend to use handoff all that much, and like the Bluetooth connections are synced, so it already knows about my AirPods, even though it's never connected to them. And so were I to be in a situation where I had this laptop, needed to take a call, and the only headphones I had were my AirPods, I'd be able to do that sort of thing. That's like a minor benefit, and like that is something I discovered is a result of working this way, but isn't something that I like deliberately thought about when I set up the computer. So the my reason for sort of talking about this particular topic is partly that there was a lot of discussion following my initial tweet, and that shows that there are thoughts that go into this, and particularly the fact that I chose a minority response to the poll, so I didn't go the same way as everybody else, means that there are like interesting parts of this problem space to discuss, and reasons that people would choose different solutions to this particular problem. And also that I think this is an important part of what we call the developer experience, is like familiarity with tools and efficiency with workflow that isn't like developer stuff. So it isn't do I remember all the keyboard shortcuts in Xcode, and it isn't do I know enough like command line to be able to efficiently work with my Git project. It's things like, do I have my to-do list set up? Can I read the emails that I need to read? Can I start a video chat with my colleagues? These are all part of the developer efficiency things, sort of subject as well, but aren't a part of it that frequently gets discussed in the developer efficiency topic. So I hope you enjoyed this. As ever, I'm always glad to receive feedback. My Twitter is iwasleeg, iwasleeg. My email address is grahamlee@acm.org. Thank you very much for listening, and I will talk to you again soon.